Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Very happy to be joined by our next guest. He is the editor-in-chief of the most popular Chiefs website on all of the interwebs. He is also one of the more fashionable people that I know. Pete Sweeney joins us on the show today. Pete, how's it going, my friend?
I always love the intros. I appreciate them very much, C-Dot.
I appreciate you, Pete. So let's start with this. I have been giving my reasoning on why I think the Noah Gray hype is out of control. I gave my numbers earlier today. I'll share them with you, and you can even write a little blog about this. The number two tight end under Reed and Kelsey has had 25 catches, 7 catches, 17, 18, 12, 8, and 6. That's good for an average of 13. Back with Brent Celek in Philadelphia, 3 catches, 9 catches, 13 catches, 25 catches. Sometimes I feel like people like yourself and I always talk about Andy loving these two tight end systems and wants to throw more to the second tight end. There's no track record of history of him really doing this. I'm not saying that Noah Gray can't be a productive NFL player, but when I look at sort of the hierarchy of talent right now that's on this team, he's like their eighth or ninth option. That's not a guy that gets 25, 30 targets in year one.
Yeah, I tend to think you're correct, and it's hard to think that really anybody on the roster is going to be able to have a ton of production behind Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and likely for me, the next in line as far as production goes would be Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You take away all of those, I mean, how many yards are you really left with when you're thinking about it? I mean, it's likely somewhere between, let's say Mahomes has 5,000 yards in the year, you're putting Travis and Tyreek at 1,000 and change, then maybe Clyde gets to 1,000, talking about maybe somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 yards for like 6 targets potentially, including Hardman and Gray and whatnot. You know, at a certain point, only so many folks on the team can be what would be 1,000-yard production type of people for you. And so I think that factors into it. I think where Gray becomes interesting is more so for me about getting Travis Kelce a little bit more rest than he would have. I mean, he's usually among the top in snap percentage, usually north of 90%, maybe because of that extra game, and he's getting a little bit older. Maybe that's around 80, 85%. And then Gray, when Gray's on the field, maybe in that Kelce type of role, that's where you get 1 or 2 catches a game. I know that you and Jay Binkley have a burrito bet on 15 catches. I tend to favor Jay on that side, but it's not like I think Noah Gray is going to have 50 catches. I just think it'll be north of 15, yeah.
So we have a $15 bet right now for him having 15 catches, and then for every catch he has over 15, I owe Jay a dollar. So, I mean, he might end up getting like $21 out of this whole thing with how many catches he has this season. And it's not really me more of an indictment on what I think Noah Gray's ability going to be. As we just said, if you look at the options, I think Noah Gray's probably their ninth option on the team. There's just typically not a lot of usage for that player.
Yeah, no, I know. And I guess where Noah Gray to me becomes more interesting is maybe in future years. Like maybe you got a guy under Travis Kelce, and I think Travis Kelce is going to go as long as he possibly can. Let's see how long that is. I think you at least got another 3 to 5 good years out of Kelsey. And so maybe this kid and Gray can come along, and when it is finally time for Kelsey to move on or retire, it depends on what he ends up wanting to do. And then the production, of course, you have a player that's built in who you know and who's really been groomed by one of the better tight ends, if not the greatest tight end of all time.
So you've seen every part of training camp so far. I'll be up there tomorrow with you as the pads come on. It seems like Willie Gay is having a great training camp. Every time I look up, I see a clip. I see some commentary from people like yourself in the media. It sounds like Willie Gay is having a great camp.
Yeah, he is. And to me, he looks like the player we thought he might be able to be last year in the sense of, that next really athletic linebacker in line that's going to remind you of like a Derek Johnson at a certain point. And I think last year he was super lost. I think the lack of an offseason really affected a lot of these rookies, likely more than they were willing to say until now, looking back. And Willie Gay just didn't have an understanding of the defense, and the Chiefs couldn't really trust to put him out there. And I know a lot of people were upset. Why is Ben Neiman and getting all these snaps over Willie Gay? Because I don't think Willie Gay knew what he was doing on certain plays. And that has completely and utterly changed now, because you've seen that there's confidence that he has in understanding the concepts and the playbook, and it's making him play confident, and he has pass breakups. And there's video of Aaron Ladd, a friend of mine, 41. He's got his interception, if you want to take a look at it on Twitter today, just jumping a route in front of Mecole Hardman, who had ended up stationary, and Willie Gay made the most of it. And I think you're really going to see a player that is ready to be a legitimate starter this year, and next to Anthony Hitchens, who's slowly but surely recovering from that hamstring issue that he has suffered. But Willie Gay, at least right now, and you had mentioned you're coming up tomorrow, we're going to watch some pads. We haven't had pads yet, but Willie Gay finally feels like the player that the Chiefs were hoping that they would get when they drafted him. And now let's see in padded practices, let's see in the preseason game, and then let's see week one.
I think the best possible thing that can happen this training camp for the Kansas City Chiefs is that Willie Gay sort of figures it out, where going into the season, you've got Hitchens as one, you've got Willie Gay as two, and then you have some combination of Nick Bolton and Ben Neiman. If Willie Gay can really take that step forward and be the linebacker as projected coming out of Mississippi State, outside of maybe DeAndre Baker or Mike Hughes figuring it out, I can't really think of a bigger plus that can happen for this team over the next 5 to 6 weeks.
No, I just love the defense because of the athleticism that the Chiefs have. And we occasionally will see the Legarius Sneed blitz. We'll occasionally see the Tyrann Mathieu blitz. I remember talking to Willie Gay last year when he was just drafted by the Chiefs, and he loves to blitz. He wants an entire blitz package to himself. And the guys were joking about him last year because of his high motor. I mean, they were calling him Turbo because he's just kind of like a bat out of hell when they rip him. And so that's a part of his game that you can't really see in training camp because of the yellow jerseys. Like, you don't want him obviously touching Patrick Mahomes or Chad Henne. But this is a player, too, who I like the way he looks in coverage right now. He seems like he could go in a lot of different directions. But one part of his game that we may not see until the preseason game is just you can let Willie Gay rip in this kind of a blitz look. And I just think that's going to be another part of the Chiefs defense. And that's where Steve Spagnuolo is so good. And I think like the versatility of a guy like Chris Jones, it's going to be a hybrid player where now you're going inside and out. He can do different things. And you have these defensive backs. Who knows if they're in coverage or even blitzing. I think you're up for a really strong Chiefs defense as some of these younger players come into their own in 2021.
I have not seen or heard any real buzz from Nick Bolton. Is that because Willie Gay's kind of taken the shine, or do you think that maybe Bolton isn't where you expected him to be?
Yeah, Bolton had he had a nice day today. I think what has been really good for them is, and you got to be careful with your line of questioning too, but I think there's a good factor to the idea that Hitchens and Neiman are off the field right now because they're leaving it to the younger guys to have to make these calls. That was one of my questions to Andy Reid is, okay, you don't have Neiman and Hitchens, and they're both getting repetitions with the green dot. And they might have never gotten. The green dot means you're getting the calls and you're making them. They may have never gotten that had Neiman and Hitchens not had these hamstring issues that just, it will happen sometimes at the beginning of a camp. And so I think they're getting a lot of experience. Bolton had a nicer day today where I'm starting to notice him a bit more. But you know, he's a different story than Gay. Gay needs to perform this year. The Chiefs need Gay to stay healthy this year. Bolton, he kind of has this redshirt type of year where he's going to be learning from Anthony Hitchens, and I think the expectation is him to be a major factor in 2022. Well, who knows? I mean, let's see how injuries go. Injuries sometimes will force people into the lineup. I think Bolton's done a nice job, and he really stood out today.
So I want to talk to you about Trey Smith, who has really emerged and stepped up at the right guard position, but let's focus on the right tackle position. I still expect Rimmers to make the start for this team at right tackle if healthy, but Lucas Niang has been given the opportunity to step in as Rimmers has gone down with an injury over these last couple of days, and it certainly sounds like Niang is making the most of his opportunity.
Yeah, I think the big day is tomorrow. We'll see. It's hard to really judge the line until you get the pads on. I think in the non-padded looks, shorts and shells, Niang has looked pretty good. And he's held his own. Like you get reps against Chris Jones now because of him being on the edge. And there are times when, yeah, Jones makes Niang look like a little bit like a fool, but there's been times where Niang has held up. I think that's what's good. I know it's a super big cliche, and Tyrann Mathieu likes to say it in the iron sharpens iron thing, but I'm really looking forward to these offensive versus defensive line drills and the pads because I think the lines are very, very good this year, and I think especially along the interior, I don't know how many better interiors you're facing than will be a Chris Jones and a Jaren Reed when they leave Jones inside. And then same thing with the Chiefs offensive line. Like, yeah, they're starting a lot of young players, but they're young players with upside. And Joe Tooney's one of the better guards in the league, and Orlando Brown Jr. is advertised as the answer at left tackle for the Chiefs. Let's see how they do against an offensive line. A defensive line who is growing and is impressive. I mean, that's where I think once the pads can come on, and especially for this Chiefs team with the questions in the trenches, that drill is going to be so critical for how you feel about this team as a whole.
Do you think there's any chance that Lucas Niang could steal this right tackle position while Rimmers is hurt?
Oh, I see what you're doing. See that? Whoa, Mr. Steal Your Job, that type of thing.
I'm just curious. I'm just wondering. You know, they always say your best ability is availability, and right now, if you're Lucas Niang, you now have the opportunity to consistently go up against the ones. If you showcase yourself and you put yourself in a position in which you maybe change some eyes of the coaching staff that's evaluating you, I don't know if it's outside the realm of possibility. I wouldn't bet on it. I would still pick Rimmers. But right now, if they had a game today, Lucas Niang would be their starting right tackle.
Yeah, you're right. And I think it's interesting in the sense that, like, so Rimmers, you kind of know what Rimmers is. You know what I mean? I mean, this is a guy that has started a lot of games from 2015 to 2020. He had at least 10 starts in each of those years. But he's a solid player. You know, I think he at some point, especially right tackle, I would say, I think he's a slightly above average option for you at right tackle. Whereas Niang, we don't know what this guy is. I mean, this is a player who opted out last year. We didn't get a chance to see him. Can he prove that he's ready? And can he prove that he might have a better ceiling than Rimmers? You know, you don't get to see it unless you get the opportunity. So sometimes things break your way, and as I said, no one's ever rooting for injuries, but he's getting the opportunity now, and that's tangible tape. And I'm interested in seeing if Rimmers is back in the mix tomorrow, because if he's not tomorrow, tomorrow's the biggest day in Lucas Niang's life. This is a golden opportunity to be going against the number one defense where they're going to be banging, and you're going to get a true look at, okay, can he really handle his own? And if he's doing a better job than all of the tape you already have on Mike Rimmers, and I think the Chiefs owe it to themselves to continue to explore that. So, yeah, I think that's a very real possibility. And Andy Reid was asked about it, because now you're looking at a situation where they would maybe start three rookies on the offensive line. Andy, are you comfortable doing that? And he basically was like, I've started rookies before. He's willing. If he thinks those are the best five, those three guys are among the best five, he's going to do it. And so, yeah, I think tomorrow is critical, especially if Rimmers is still out with the back spasms and you have a right tackle, first-team right tackle opportunity with Niang at full pads.
Right now, we're talking to Pete Sweeney, the editor-in-chief of the most popular Chiefs website on the internet, going through the top stories right now at training camp as we are through the non-padded part. Tomorrow, they'll start putting the pads on and have their first padded practice of the 2021 season. Trey Smith would appear that he's going to be their starting right guard if the season was today. He seems to me like he's been the star so far of training camp. You mentioned the training camp videos that various media members have put out. I've seen three or four pancakes. He seems to be the early star of Chiefs training camp?
Yeah, I know it's early, and there's a college basketball journalist. I'm not even exactly sure who it is, but he likes to write Sharpie before the game is over when he thinks that the roster is set or the game is set, I should say. And I'm almost ready to do like that Sharpie thing with all the positions except for right tackle. I thought that would be right guard heading into training camp, but I think it's pretty much locked. I think you're looking at Orlando Brown Jr. at left, and then as you go left to right, Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey. I'm ready to think that Trey Smith is there, and you have Laurent Duvernay-Tardif as the depth behind him, a really good depth player with some starts there for you. And then who knows what happens at right tackle. Like, right tackle has become, in my opinion, more of a question considering the injury and the opportunity that Niang is getting that we just spoke about. Trey Smith, from day one, has been in that position, and that is unlike Andy Reid typically. I mean, you know, a lot of times you'll see the veteran who has been a starter for him before get an opportunity at right guard, but Trey Smith just continues to hold down that spot, and it hasn't really changed. And I think Chiefs really would like him to get those repetitions to see, okay, can he hold on to this thing? And he's been good, and he's another one. You know, we just, all the things we said about Niang and tomorrow and the pad, you can kind of say about Trey Smith, because we don't really know for sure 100%, but it's been good so far, and I'm eager to see what he does tomorrow.
That player, that person is Seth Davis, the guy you're thinking about that says Sharpie.
Seth Davis, yes.
Seth correct. Davis, that's what...
Sharpie Seth.
We're a team here. Pete, you and I are a team. You lob them in the air, and then I, you know, alley-oop it home for you. I want to play...
I can't dunk. I can't dunk, so I'm happy that you're the dunker.
I believe you. I want to play this for you. This is Mecole Hardman. This is from a couple days ago. I think this is probably the quote so far of training camp. Here's what Mecole Hardman had to say.
I think this is probably one of my most important seasons coming into this training camp. So I think it's just up to me, you know, personally to do what I need to do and take advantage of every opportunity that's given to me and just, you know, gain the trust of, you know, the coaches, you know, the rest of the staff and Pat, you know, and my teammates, and just show them that, you know, I can be a viable asset every Sunday or whatever day we plan on day in, day out, and just, you know, continue to improve on my game as the season goes.
So that was Mecole Hardman as he met with the media. Pete, maybe open-ended question. Do you think that Mecole Hardman has the trust of this offense?
You know what? Patrick Mahomes went out of his way the other day to essentially say that he's really been impressed with how Mecole Hardman has come into camp. And what I have noticed, at least in most of the looks, I think the entire offense had a rough day, including Mecole today. Like, Mecole stopped short, and that's part of the reason why Patrick Mahomes threw it away today. But that's just today. I think camp as a whole, he's looked pretty good. And for me, I think it is now or never time when it comes to the career of Mecole Hardman. I mean, what more opportunity do you need than Sammy Watkins no longer being here, and your competition is DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle, and Cornell Powell, who quietly is not really having a great camp in his first look as a pro. And so I think there's a golden opportunity here. And you're also looking at a player, and, you know, he's not in a contract year, right? But, like, it could be. Like, after this year is over, this is his third season, he could talk a contract extension with the Chiefs. And I think that's a motivating factor as well when it comes to this player in particular, because if he has a great year, I don't know if Kansas City is necessarily going to want to be going into that final year without something in place. I mean, we've had the same conversation about Tyrann Mathieu going into his final year. And so, Mecole Hardman, yes, it's not a contract year per se, but he can make a lot of money this year by making it a very, very tough decision on the Chiefs as to if they want to let this guy get into the final year. Right now, of course, you'd be like, yeah, like, let's see how the contract plays out. We're not going to do it. But if he suddenly turns it on and has what is a breakout season, then suddenly that conversation becomes a lot more interesting next offseason. And I think he realizes that. I just think he realizes that.
Tomorrow, the pads are on. We've alluded to it. What are you expecting? Like, I'm excited to go up there tomorrow and see the intensity when it comes to this practice, to see how Lucas Niang looks going up against Frank Clark and the pass rush for that team. It's one thing to evaluate this team not in pads, but tomorrow it's going to be somewhat live bullets. So you really get the opportunity to see first team, who they line up, how guys perform in these certain situations. I'm excited for tomorrow's practice. What are you expecting?
Yeah, we talked about all the OL versus DL stuff. I think that's important. I think Clyde has had a lot of hype, at least locally in Kansas City, and I tend to think that he's taken another step. I'm eager to see what they do with him when it comes to the screen game, and now that you're banging out there, you can set that up a little bit better. Like, how is he doing when it comes to catching the football? Pass protection for these running backs is going to be important too. And I just think, and this is the biggest thing, I need to talk about the day as a whole. Once the pads come on, all bets are off when it comes to the intensity level at Chiefs training camp. Like, these are the days in the heat when guys are hitting each other a little bit harder that you start to see some of that intensity. Like, I'm almost guaranteeing you that either today or later on in the week there will be like a training camp scuffle, because that's football and that's just what happens on these type of days. We haven't had that at training camp at least yet, and I tend to think either tomorrow or sometime later in the week when they're doing it again, that you see some of that. And that's football, and that's what you want. That's that Bink at Night stuff that we like to talk about, and I think we're at that point where we're ready for that. And then once we get through the padded practices, we'll be ready for the preseason and so on. But this is the first real step to legitimate football and what we'll be building to week one.
That is my guy, Pete Sweeney. He is the editor-in-chief of the most popular Chiefs website on all of the internet, Arrowhead Pride. Pete, always good catching up with you, man. I am so excited to see your smiling face tomorrow in St. Joseph, Missouri.
Yep, throw it up and you slam it down. See that? See that?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.